Good morning.
Good morning.
John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "The Mosaic law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through the Lord Jesus Christ." We're part of the most magnificent age in divine history, the church age. Moses was the founder of a great nation, Israel. But the Lord Jesus Christ revealed the age of grace, the church age. In grace, our Lord made it clear that he has taken our mistakes out of the way of a relationship with him. He does not hold our mistakes against us. In truth, our Lord has exposed the lies that have been leveled at his person and his work. And as believers in Christ, we are the beneficiaries of this grace and this truth. We come to Bible study for renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the Word of God so we can know all the details of the predetermined plan of God the Father, so we can know the voluntary compassion and sacrifice of God the Son, and so that we can know the amazing resurrection life of the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind. And now is the time to let ourselves in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save our souls. And as God prepares us for this renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Light of Fellowship.
I'll be obedient, and I will humble myself before you. The spirit I'll not quench, the spirit I'll not grieve, and I will not depend on me. I will walk worthy of the calling given me, influenced fully by the Holy Spirit. With him I'm always filled, he does enable me, and he leads me to be free. And now I walk in the light of fellowship. I know your power and thoughts divine. I will learn what it is to love you. I know that I am yours and you are mine. I am loved by God. His mandates I do keep, and his mandates aren't a burden. And I love others too, without hypocrisy, so others see a light in me. And now I grow in grace and knowledge of you, Lord, and I abide in you going forward. So I might hear the words, well done, my faithful one, in the presence of you and the Son. And now I walk in the light of fellowship. I know your power and thoughts divine. And I will learn each day I study your
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to learn how you parent us. Help us to learn your parenting philosophy. Help us to adopt your approach to parenting as a philosophy of our own, both in the way we treat our children and the way we treat each other. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark, and my spiritual gift is pastor-teacher. It's a gift given to me by God for your benefit so that I might serve you. Welcome to a ministry designed to offer you a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the study of His Word. Today's study, Unconditional Love is a Parenting Philosophy. Unconditional love is a parenting philosophy. We continue our study of the second of the 21 categories of biblical thought that are part of the Creator versus Creature conflict series. And we're learning about the magnificent aspects of our Creator's essence at the second of the 21 C's. The second of the 21 C's is Creator. And who is the Creator? It's a question that we might ask. John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3 and verse 14 tell us who the Creator is. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, God the Son. And the Word, God the Son, was with God the Father. And the Word, God the Son, was the same in essence as God the Father. He, God the Son, was in existence in the beginning with God the Father." Verse 3, "All things came into being through Him, God the Son. And apart from God the Son, nothing came into being that has come into being." John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word, God the Son, became flesh, taking on the form of true humanity. And He tabernacled among us, He lived among us, and we beheld His glory, we beheld His essence in His person." The Lord Jesus Christ is the exact reflection of the essence of the Godhead. We beheld His essence, glory. That is His essence, as of the uniquely born one, a gift the Lord Jesus Christ was from God the Father, full of grace, the willingness to forgive our mistakes, and full of truth, that thing which counteracts lies. So, you got that? Okay, good. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator that we study. He is the Creator of all things. And we are happy and excited to be here to worship Him today. TikTok, what time is it on the Creator clock? It is 1 Corinthians 13 o'clock. God is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "Now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three. But the greatest of these is unconditional love." At the center of the Creator clock is one of the most important ideas in biblical Christianity, love. It is the Greek word agapao, a word for unconditional love. Unconditional love. Christianity is a lifestyle of unconditional love. And we are studying now what we would have done well to study from the very beginning, the unconditional love of God. Because without an understanding of unconditional love, without executing unconditional love in our lives, we don't understand Christianity. And we don't understand Christ. We are studying God's unconditional love, and we have chosen parenting as one of the examples where unconditional love is necessary. Parenting thrusts us into a leadership role. Parenting thrusts us into a leadership role. Do you think of yourselves that way? When you're a parent, do you think of yourselves as the leader in a leadership role? Because we are leaders because God put us in a position. And that position is called the position of parent. As leaders, we have a responsibility to engage in leading. And what is leading? It means that we're responsible for creating an atmosphere in which others want to follow. Leaders, you are a leader because you have a position. You are leading when you are creating an atmosphere in which others want to follow, want to, not have to. And you are exercising leadership when you influence results through the use of personal power. So let's look at that again. Here it is. A leader. You are a leader as a parent because God put you in a position, the position of parent. You are leading when you are creating an atmosphere in which others want to follow. And you are exercising leadership when you're influencing results through the use of personal power. So I ask you this. Are you aware of the responsibilities of the position you hold as parent? And if so, where did you get the information? Did you get the manual from the hospital? When they handed you the baby, did they hand you the baby and then hand you the manual? Because that actually is a manual. And when you really think about it, there aren't that many commands in here that relate specifically to parenting, yet every command in here relates very well to the leadership that's required of a parent. Are you aware of the atmosphere that you create as a parent? Are you influencing your children with personal power? Now, those of you who don't have children yet, I want to tell you something. I started preparing for my children when I was 19 years old. So don't get that blank look on your face like this doesn't apply to you. Because when they are here, it's too late. If it weren't for God. By the time they get here, it's too late. That preparation to be a parent needs to start way in advance because when it gets here, it overwhelms you. Changing 5,000 crap diapers in 5 years at $50 a week overwhelms you so much that you aren't thinking about the plan that you need. You're just thinking about surviving the rest of the day. One of the things that was funny is how a husband has to teach a wife the realities of parenting sometimes, if they know it. And my ex-wife was, anytime the babies made a noise on the monitor, you know, up in there. You know, and there were just so many times when I just had to grab her, you know, pin her down. Where are you going? He made a noise. I don't care. Let him cry himself to sleep. Let him learn how to calm himself down, right? And then you start looking at it. Like, she was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I just asked her a very simple question. I said, all right, let's just say that we had a ridiculous rule like this, that the kids cannot be out of the room before 7 o'clock and cannot be out of their room after 8:30 at night. Let's say we installed a ridiculous rule like that. How many hours is that? 13 and a half hours a day, 7 days a week. How many business executives work 13 and a half hours a day, 7 days a week, with no breaks? How many? I'm asking you. How many? None. Zero. Yet a woman is totally willing to do that. That's insane. That's insane. So if you just bound it like that, within that 7 days, that woman better be getting some serious breaks. And quite frankly, I don't know how it is that women survive without putting a bullet in their head when they got 2, 3, 4 kids under the age of 5 years old and they're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know how you do it. Because me, I swear I'll do it. Take me to the cliff. So you got to prepare way in advance of this task. Because once you get into the task, even if you put a ridiculous rule in place, it's 13 and a half hours a day, 7 days a week, with no breaks, with a tyrant who only knows how to do two things, cry and poop. Amen. All right. So my question for you is this. Are you aware of the responsibilities of the position you hold as parents? Are you aware of the atmosphere you create as parent? Do you influence your children with personal power? Now, how you are as a leader is completely influenced by your thinking. As a parent, are you thinking with unconditional love? Are you looking at your children with God's eyes? Are you looking at other people with God's eyes? As Christians, we must let God place unconditional love in our hearts through His Holy Spirit's enabling power so that we can be at our best with people and especially with children. Let's face the facts about children. Whether they are kids or whether they are teenagers, their souls are all folly. They are all about play. Their energy level is exuberant. I was watching, you like that word? Their energy level is exuberant. Ping, ping, ping. They're like sheriff, ping, ping, ping. They're off the wall. Especially male children under the age of 10. So I was watching mom with her young son the other day, and he was probably about 6, and he was just doing boy things. He was overactive for the situation he was in. Let me repeat that. He was overactive for the situation he was in. If he's at a playground, he's fine. If he's in a store, it was not fine. You know, kids a lot of times use their inside, their outside voice inside. Right? But I don't see parents asking him, are you using your inside voice or your outside voice? Right? Because when parents ask that question, the kid already knows the answer. Using my outside voice. Yeah, well, would you cut it out? So, he was overactive for the situation he was in. Now, the negative messages were flying. No. Don't. Stop. No. Don't. Stop. No. Don't. Stop. Do you ever find yourself in that position as a parent? Find yourself in that position? If you're in that position, you're upset. The situation is now out of control. No, don't stop will not work in that situation when you're upset. When parents find themselves repeating negative commands, and those negative commands are not working, something has gone radically wrong, and it's time to stop and have a meaningful teaching moment about situational conduct rather than ruining the rapport with children through a barrage of negative messages. These teaching moments don't have to be terse. They don't have to be like this. But if you let it get out of control, when you clearly see it spinning out of control, what are you going to be? Terse. Why? Because you've been working 13 hours a day, 7 days a week, with no break. You want to kill them. You honestly do. And so if you put yourself in that situation, you're the parent. So when situations like that are allowed to progress to upset condition, you need to reframe the situation with a situational conversation about conduct. And a lot of those moments can be aborted from the second they start. If you notice yourself going there, start the situational conversation at that moment. Now, for many parents in their minds, their role as leader gives them the right to be a tyrant. It gives them a right to be an absolutist despot, one who can demand obedience. Now, when you parent with your position, I said so, parenting with position. When you parent with your authority, you are engaging in the lowest and most ineffective form of leadership. You've already lost the game. When you have to say, I am the boss, I am the parent, I said so, you've already lost. We often think it is our job to hold our children accountable, to consequence them. Do you really think that you can successfully coerce anyone's will? No. You can't. The resounding answer to that is no. And actually, a child has the responsibility to behave in a way that is appropriate for a situation, and it is our job as parents to teach them how to do that. The terrible twos is the time when parents find out that they are not in charge of their prodigy. No, I won't, is child code. It means you and I are not the same person and I don't have to obey you. If God blesses you with children, he will always see to it that you get a child who can shape your area of weakness as a leader. If you are a tyrant, someone who believes in imposing authority without freedom, God will give you the disobedient child that forces you to adjust your approach. If you're an anarchist, someone who is interested in being a child's friend and not the child's parent, God will give you a steamroller child who will run all over your permissiveness. Not one, no one, not even your children, respects you solely because you are the parent. Parenting is a strategy. It is not something that you do by the seat of your pants if you want it to go well. You see, our God is not operating by the seat of his pants. I was kind of chuckling, June, about that that song you just sang where about you said something like, you will lead. No, it was Essence of God in the last lesson. You will reign forevermore. No, he reigns right now forevermore. And he always has reigned forevermore. Right? It's not a future event. And that sounds like a future event. It's not a future event. It's now. So God's work is done. You know why? Because he has a plan. Parents who want to win operate with a plan, and it is written. It's not seat of your pants. Here is Acts 2:23. This man, Jesus Christ, delivered over by the predetermined plan. What does predetermined mean? Premeditated. Put in place in advance. The predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. God the Father has a predetermined plan. Do you as parents have a predetermined plan in writing that you put in place in advance? If you expect to coach someone, that has to be the case. Why? Because in a lot of cases, there are two or more of you raising kids. You know, I see a lot of situations now where they're the grandparents and the parents, and they're all trying to raise the kids, right? And the kids are smart. Kids are strategic experts without one bit of instruction. And one of the things they understand absolutely perfectly is the divide and conquer strategy. They go to dad. Dad, can I have ice cream? Hell no, man. Get out of here. I'm watching TV. Mom, dad said we can't have any ice cream. Mom says, sure we can. Get your brother. Three against one. Strategic experts. Strategic experts. Not one bit of instruction. Know exactly how to create numbers. And you're going to parent them without a plan? You're going to parent them without writing it down? You're going to parent them without coordinating it? Okay. Knock yourself out. Add no parent, no plan, no coordination to 13 and a half hours, 7 days a week, and you know what you got? Now, don't throw in both of your work. Don't even start throwing that in. Because that the anarchists, the kids, the anarchists, oh, boy. Great. Unsupervised activity. When a cat's away, the mouse will play. Parenting is not a small matter. So do you and your spouse have a parenting plan? Whether you're divorced or single, you're still responsible. Do you have a parenting plan? Parenting has three strategic phases, as we said in our lessons last week. In phase one, we inculcate instruction. In phase two, we help them grow. In phase three, we let them go. From ages 0 to 12, we parents are to inculcate instruction. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child, that is, dedicate yourself to a child in the way he should go, that narrow path. And even when he's old, he won't depart from it. He won't turn away from it. In phase one of parenting, the primary lesson is authority orientation. It's time to teach the lesson of obedience. We discipline our children with instruction. And remember what discipline is. Discipline is training in a character pattern. And so we're always trying to shape the character pattern of our children. We want our children, when they are young, 0 to 12, to learn obedience because it makes for a peaceful household and it makes for a successful entrance into society for them. Parenting phase two, help the teens become adults, help them grow. Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You feel powerless towards your teenagers? Get the Word of God inculcated into them. And do not look for them to, after the lesson, sit there and look at you in awe and say, I can't believe that you think enough of me to put me through that. My God, you must really love me. It's not what you're going to see. What you're going to see is, this is whack. This is whack. That's teenager code for, thank God you made me do this because I would never do this on my own. And if you don't believe that's teenager code for that, ask some of the people in this very congregation who were subjected to that as teenagers, who hated every minute of it, and who are now here and don't miss a time. There are a lot of you. So from ages 13 to 18, we as parents help teens become adults. We help them grow. At 13, it's time to discard the strategy that you use to get your children to the teen years and to adopt a completely new strategy of parenting. You have taught your children by this time how to make decisions, and now you must teach them how to make mistakes. And yes, Rachel, yes, you do have to have two strategies. When you've got a 0 to 12 and a 13 to 18, you have to have two plans, not just one plan. Amen? Or is you're working two phases. See? If your timing is kind of off, you know, in the matter of when you bring them here, amen, then you got a problem on your hand, right? And you folks who like spreading them out, I don't even get it. Like 18 months, two of them, cut it off. You know, that's me, but... Or 2 years and 2 months, whatever the hell it was. But but yeah, it makes it tough. But again, you need a plan, right? Third phase, let them go. The third phase, let them go. Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Kick them out. 18 plus, kick them out. And when they become 18, send them off to college or send them out into the world and butt the hell out. Let me repeat that. Butt the hell out. That's what Genesis 2:24 says. Before there ever were in-laws, God said to in-laws, butt the hell out. But we don't. Okay, and we have every manner of excuse why we don't. Yeah, but see, what had happened was, but you're supposed to butt the hell out when they're grown. We're raising our children to let them go. Yet, I know it's hard, but it is for their good. More importantly, it's for your own good. Take a 5-minute break.
That's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh Lord, my God, in your presence. That's where I belong, seeking your face.
Kathy, go home. That song is Think About Home. Yeah, so when you hear that song, go home.
Oh.
That's home, right there. Yeah.
Oh. See?
Feel me, Jerry? Jerry, we are not here next week. We are at the Hilton. Yeah, next week we're at the Hilton, people. Hilton. Feel me? That will be announced again in lesson 3. But I'm just telling you now. I'm just axing you, you know? All right, so we'll be there next week. What? You don't like my Cuba Gooding thing? I know Matt doesn't like my Cuba Gooding thing. He doesn't like when I act like I'm black. What has no
expiration date? I said that card has no expiration.
It doesn't. No, I got to tell you something about that card. So I came from the ghetto. You know that, right? So, you know, as I got farther and farther away from the ghetto, I would pretend like I never came from there. And in the worst possible situation, what would come out? The ghetto boy. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but the ghetto boy comes out. And he was just begging for his acknowledgement that he had helped me by getting me home alive every day. And now that I'm high and mighty and all with the white people and stuff, he just didn't want me to forget he was here. You know what I'm saying? So every time that happens, it's just him checking in and say, yeah, but I was the one. Right, Jenny? You got to do that, right? See, like for you, Raphael, you know, it's bananas, you know, because like back when you were in Cuba climbing the trees and getting the bananas. Coconut. All right. Coconut has bananas. I don't really care. But you know what I'm saying. Down with Fidel. All right. All right, man. Come on. All right. We got it. So you cannot ignore that part of yourself. You just can't, because it comes up and it demands acknowledgement. So.
Pastor is saying is embrace the racist in yourself.
No, I am not saying embrace the racist in yourself, Beaner. Half Beaner.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. I swear to God, I wish you guys could be in my prayers sometimes, just hearing what I'm saying to the Lord. God, why this one? Why did you send this one? What is it you're trying to teach me? God, Father, Lord, help me, Father, please. I do more begging in my prayers than I've ever done in my entire life. All right, here we go. I know you're doing the same thing. So the question for parents is this. Do you and your spouse have a parenting plan? Do you have a parenting plan? Is it in writing? Because if you don't, it's never too late to create one. Now let's discuss the elements of a parenting plan. A parenting plan has vision. Vision. What is vision? What things look like in perfect condition. So when you're thinking about those cretins that you're raising, what are they like in perfect condition? And actually, that vision that you have for them, it'd be best if it was doable. Right? A kid who never makes mistakes. Yeah, right. Pass the joint. No, this, you're not going to have one of those. Right? But what is it really? A vision is a prediction of what things will look like when they're in perfect condition. Now, if you were concerned with your nutrition, for example, you might have a vision that says, I only eat foods that contribute to a slim, trim figure. That would be a vision. I only eat foods that contribute to a slim, trim figure. For Christian parents, perfect condition with their children might look like this. My children are exposed incessantly to the gospel message, the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's person and work, so they have the best chance to respond positively to it, so that they can become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I never take my children's salvation for granted. I can't tell you how many times I evangelized to my kids long after I knew that they were believers in Christ, because I was never going to take their salvation for granted. I sent them that message over and over and over again, and my vision was that. to get them exposed over and over to the gospel message. A vision points to a glorious future. And God gives us a vision. He gives us vision statements all over the Bible. Here are some of them. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That is God's vision for you in the future, one of the many. Another, and so in your glorious future, you can count on being perfected, confirmed, strengthened, and established by whom? By your God. Look at that. Will himself perfect you. What that should tell you is this. You're not going to be able to weasel out of getting perfected, confirmed, strengthened, and established because the immutable God is going to do his job. How about this? Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. For those whom God the Father foreknew, and that is all believers in Christ, he foreknew exactly what choice we would make in the matter of Jesus Christ. Those he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Glorious vision for your future. In the future, you will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom God the Father predestined, predetermined a plan for, and then funded it completely. Those he also called. After he knew you would believe, he put a plan in place for you. He funded the plan totally. And then he called you, which means what? He invited you to the privilege of the plan, knowing that you would respond positively to it. And those whom he called, those whom he invited, he also justified. He declared you absolutely righteous at the moment of salvation, a legal justification. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. We have a glorious future. Another vision statement. In your glorious future, you can count on being glorified, as we learned in the last Lord's Supper. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 is another vision statement. The Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you when you're an unbeliever, not willing for any unbeliever to perish, but for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about Christ. That's the way he sees unbelievers. And I was marveling at that this morning, that sins, our sins as Christians have been handled at the cross, but the sins of unbelievers were handled there too. And so the sin problem is completely out of the way, having been nailed to the cross by the blood of Christ. So a parenting vision covers all three phases of your parenting plan. Within each phase of your parenting plan, there is an objective and a strategy and a set of tactics. 0 to 12 plan, 13 to 18 plan, 18 plus plan. But the vision goes across the entire thing. Now, let's look at objectives. An objective is specific, measurable, and bound in time. For example, a 0 to 12 objective for parents might be, teach my children to make great decisions on a moment-by-moment basis so they have adult souls to match their adult bodies when they leave my home at 18 years old. Teach my children to make great decisions on a moment-by-moment basis so they have adult souls to match their adult bodies when they leave my home at 18. I see so many parents missing teachable moments. I used to, when I was sitting at a traffic light, we would be sitting there, and the easy thing to do is, you know, have your phone, you know, be doing this and catching up on emails and completely pretending like there's nobody in the car with you. But another thing parents can do is put the damn phone away and start using every moment with your kids as a teachable moment. And that's how you develop relationships with your kids. How are you going to have relationships with your kids when you're interacting with an inanimate object more than you interact with them? And so we would be sitting at a traffic light and there'd be a guy in front of us on a motorcycle and he would have on shorts, no helmet. I'd say, boys, look at this. And they come gathering in. I said, this guy... if this guy falls off this motorcycle, what do you think is going to happen to his head? Oh, it's going to bounce on the ground. That's right. But if he had a helmet on, probably wouldn't bounce on the ground. The helmet would bounce on the ground. His head would be cushioned and safe. if he falls, he's going to fall to one side or the other. He's going to take off 7 layers of skin with those shorts on. He probably needs to have on some leather pants. Now, that's not going to keep him from losing skin, but the pants are going to tear long before the skin tears, right? So would you say that this guy is making a good decision on this motorcycle? No. So if you ever choose to ride motorcycles, you might not want to make that decision. Now, that guy's got the right to do whatever he wants on that motorcycle. If you ask him why he's doing it, it's too hot to wear that stuff. I get it. Phoenix is hot. And helmet, I don't even like wearing a hat when I golf. So I can imagine what a helmet is like in the heat. I get it. But you can get dead on a motorcycle. Chances of you getting dead on a golf course, you know, you might have a heart attack if you hit a good shot, but other than that, you're not in really a lot of danger. So every moment is a chance to teach if you're paying attention. Our divine parent might say it this way, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go as God wants him to go, and even when he's old, he won't depart from it. That might be an objective in the divine plan. A 13 to 18-year-old objective might be this. Allow my children to make decisions and to experience the consequences of their decisions under my protection, to ensure they have adult souls to match their adult bodies when they leave my home at 18. See, we teach them all these things about decisions, and then when they become teenagers, we don't want them to make any. I just don't want you to make the same mistakes I did. Shut up, I'll make my own mistakes. Butt out. Do you honestly believe that you're going to keep your kids from making mistakes? I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and she was asking me if I had any daughters, and I said, no, I don't. And, man, I just can't imagine having daughters, because I think my friends who have daughters think that their daughters ought to be virgins 3 years into their marriage. And I just don't get that. I don't get what they're thinking. Right, so I'll have to ask some of you dads of daughters what that whole thought process is about. And I'm not sanctioning premarital sex by any stretch of the imagination, but I just don't understand the unrealistic view that a lot of dads have of their daughters. I don't get it. But if a son was doing the same thing, they wouldn't think anything of it. I don't get it. So what is your vision, dads, for your daughter? Seriously. And is there a discrepancy between your vision for your daughter and your vision for your son? You might want to check that out. So we don't want our children to make decisions that hurt them, yet they do. Why? Because you do. You're not any different. As a matter of fact, you're probably worse because you know better. They're going through that decision cycle for the first time. And there's always this thought that somehow they're going to make that one decision that's going to ruin their lives forever. BS. You didn't do that. How did you avoid it? You special? They are protected by God if they're believers in Christ. But they have freedom under His protection. Do they have that same experience under your protection as parents? Just the freedom to goof up if they want to and to be treated in grace? That's the question. Not to be treated as if they're living under a tyrant. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't ever be entangled again in the yoke of slavery. I think a lot of parents don't want to talk to their kids about sex, because they're embarrassed to talk to their kids about sex. Okay, don't. Let their teenage friends educate them. You think that's going to be a pretty good education? Men, hand that off to the women. I don't talk about those female things. Why? Why? You can't learn? You don't have an opinion about it? You don't know? My mom gave me the book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. She said, read it cover to cover 2 times and let's talk about it. Any question you have, write it down. I'll answer anything you want to know. Great conversations. Always backed by solid information. Not afraid to talk about anything. I want to tell you, so I can't tell you that story, but it was just funny. I was thinking about my mom a lot yesterday. It was very emotional for me. I miss her a lot. She's been dead about 15 years now. And I can't wait to see her again. But some of the greatest conversations that I've had in my life, I had with her. She was a great mother. Quite imperfect person, yet phenomenal mother. At 18 plus years old, an objective for parenting might be trust the teaching that I've provided to my children enough to allow them to live their lives as unto the Lord without my interference. Let me repeat that, because some of you got grown kids. Trust the teaching that I have provided to my children enough to allow them to live their lives as unto the Lord without my interference. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, let us believers in Christ lay aside every encumbrance and the sin nature which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race of our lives that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So with each phase of your parenting plan, there is a single objective, a single strategy, and a single set of tactics. A strategy. What is a strategy? A strategy is what you do for distinctive advantage. Here's an example of a parenting strategy. Count on the direction of the Word of God, creating an atmosphere of unconditional love for my children. Remember I said leading is creating an atmosphere in which others want to follow? Do you think unconditional love is an atmosphere in which others want to follow? It is. It's the only atmosphere that gets to unbelievers. But do you create that atmosphere for your children? Is that the strategy? No matter what you do, it's going to be okay with me. You are okay with me. I don't like the things you do all the time. I don't like the way you hurt yourself, but you are okay with me. I acknowledge that you might make mistakes for 25 years straight before you finally figure out that the decisions you make are in reaction to something. And they're never paying off. And I will patiently wait for you to figure that out, just like God waited for me to figure it out. Because I'm not special. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord so well that he will be qualified to instruct him? No one. But we believers in Christ have the mind of Christ. There's nothing more powerful than that. When you feel powerless, that's powerful. The Word of God never comes back void. The truth never comes back void. Inculcate the truth. But how many times when you want to yell at your kid, do you yell at them with a Bible verse? How many times do you take them to the Word of God and say, look, I want to show you something, even though you're acting like a total idiot right now. I want to show you something, and I'm upset with you. And that's why I'm saying that I think you're acting like a total idiot. I don't like how you're acting. I love you, and I like how you're acting. But here's what our Lord says. Our Lord says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, after you have suffered a little while from your goofball decision. Wait, that's not in there. I added that. The God of all grace, who forgets about your mistakes, will he himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Don't think that your lousy decision is going to work out, because it's not. None of mine have, none of yours will, and after you fall flat on your face and you suffer from making that lousy decision, Your God himself is going to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So knock yourselves out. Please make as many stupid decisions as you possibly can, as fast as you can, because he will still get it done with you. How many of you take them there? Because they'll listen to this. When they won't listen to you, they'll listen to this. And then I'll think, that Pastor Rory is a genius. They'll give me the credit. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen for the brother getting the credit? So, if you want to create an atmosphere in which others will follow, unconditional love is that atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere. So the question for you parents is this. Do you have a parenting plan? And is it in writing? And is it coordinated between the parents? Because parents who are on two pages, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Will not stand. But if you don't have one, it's never too late to create one. And it's especially important so that your parenting is like our God's parenting. On one page. In a world that loves creating the chaos of two parenting pages. Closing song, God is faithful.
We were saved by grace alone, by faith alone.
Singing, it just gets to me. Wow. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for having a plan for all mankind and a personal plan for us. And thank you for giving imperfect parents to run your perfect plan. And thank you for empowering these parents, especially Christian parents, with all of the things that they would need from eternity past before they were ever created to be fantastic parents, the kind of parent that you are. And I pray that all those who are at the other end of this message, whether they have kids or not, or they're anticipating them in the future, or they have them now, or they're beyond their parenting years, will use this information to stand up and be Christian parents and to show the difference that Christianity makes in the parenting process by living the precepts that are part of your plan. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.